Late Sunday night, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker said he will allow public employees to bargain over salaries with no limit. That's a softening from his original plan that banned salary increases beyond inflation. And he also says he'll let collective bargaining stay in place on mandatory overtime, performance bonuses, hazardous duty pay, and classroom size for teachers. But Senate Democrats who fled that state to block a vote on Walker's budget bill say that's not enough to bring them back. So the standoff in Wisconsin continues. And if Walker's bill to limit collective bargaining by public employees is passed as is, the country may see something it hasn't seen in a long time, a general strike. What exactly is that? Frank Emspach is the history professor emeritus at the University of Wisconsin Extension School for Workers. They also produce the radio program WIN, Workers Independent News. Frank, professor, welcome.
Well, thank you very much.
So what is a general strike, and how does it differ from what we might call a normal strike when, let's say, just teachers or just steel workers walk off a job?
Most people perceive a general strike as when many different types of occupations join together, leave work, and often it's not just for a specific economic thing. It usually turns very quickly into a question of power. In this country, and the general strikes that have occurred in the 30s, and almost all of them centered around union recognition or the right to bargain, rather than a specific economic demand, although sometimes that's what sparked it.
So it's workers in sympathy with other workers who are going out because some of their rights are being restricted. So why would, though, a clerk at a Wisconsin law firm or a UPS driver take off from work? They might lose pay and they might possibly lose their jobs to support a public sector employee in this case.
Well, if we're talking about Wisconsin, there's a sense that all employees are going to suffer one way or the other. Because he has linked everything together, including tuition increases, wage cuts, changes in the pension, and what people perceive as coming down the pike is probably what they call the right to work law, almost everybody involved in labor in the state sees that some issue of concern of theirs is under threat.
And how do they usually work? Is it a declared strike? In other words, if someone takes off from work, do they make it clear that they're in sympathy? Or is it something where you don't say exactly what you're doing?
Well, I think we need to understand a little about the law first. There are two different types of laws here. There's the state law, which says it is illegal for any public employee, no matter what, whether you have a union or not, to strike. In the federal law, the Taft-Hartley Act, which is an amendment to the National Labor Relations Act and passed in 1948, specifically makes sympathy strikes illegal. So if you say, I'm going on strike because I am in sympathy with somebody else, that is an illegal act. Really, these are ultimately political strikes. For example, if everybody in Boston decided to go on strike, it's unlikely that the city would arrest all 500,000 people. There is some kind of political settlement. But that doesn't happen all the time. Clearly, people will take risks. I think in Wisconsin, what we have is a situation where hundreds of thousands of people who are giving up time, leaving work early, coming after work to express their concern. Now, what may happen here, of course, is that there could be some spark and many, many more people will decide that they will leave work under one pretext or another. But if the union, if the Wisconsin State Employees Union or some other union said, we are asking you to leave work in sympathy with somebody else, that is illegal.
So you have the support of people in other fields coming to support the public workers. Also, we see the recent polling. So there is this sense that while a general strike is unlikely, you know, there's also some possibility. We've seen general strikes in the last year in Spain, Portugal, France. That was all against pension reform. The governments were moving to push up retirement age. Last month in Greece, workers took to the streets over an austerity program there. There was violence and tear gas from the police. We understand general strikes go all the way back to 494 BC
right,
in ancient Rome.
Apparently.
But when was the last one here?
There were three of them, really. There was one in San Francisco sparked by the longshoremen, another one in Minneapolis sparked by Teamsters, and a third one in Toledo, Ohio. All of those took place in the 30s.
Well, let's talk about one of those strikes. Let's see, the 83-day longshoremen's strike in 1934. It kind of grew into a four-day general strike in San Francisco. So that was just in San Francisco, or did people strike across the country?
Well, There were people on strike other parts of the West Coast, but San Francisco at that time was a major port. There, the fundamental issue, and this is ultimately what unified people, was a sense of fairness. You had the shape up like you saw in the movie On the Waterfront. People run and try to get a job, and somebody hands them out, and there's graft and corruption and whatnot. Same was true in San Francisco in the early 30s. And there, the workers said, enough of this. We're going to have a hiring hall based on seniority. And the Pacific Maritime Association said, drop dead. And eventually people went out. And I think what sparked the final general strike was the death of some of the strikers. Some of them were shot. And people turned out en masse to say this is not the kind of country we're interested in. And finally, the Pacific Maritime Association agreed to recognize that union and agree on that type of hiring system, which is still basically in place on the West Coast. So it was a sense of being wronged that brought people out. And the same was really true in Minneapolis and also in Toledo. I think in Wisconsin, what I found, what our news service found in our interviews, which was so surprising, people talked about collective bargaining, but they felt genuinely insulted that this kind of thing was happening in the state. And one of the prison guards or deputy sheriffs, I can't remember, from a northern part of the state that we interviewed, said, well, and he paused for a minute. He was with several friends. He said, you know, this is just not the way we do things here in Wisconsin. This isn't right.
Well, as you well know, there are people who think that Governor Walker's attempt to gut collective bargaining has backfired on him, actually igniting support for unions across the country. Do you think that a general strike would backfire on unions if, in fact, people like the people who take the garbage out or fight fires are off the job?
If it's something where basic public services are denied for a long period of time, obviously people are going to get upset. One reason that after the first week when schools were being closed and the kids were walking out and the teachers met in the state capitol, they decided that they would all be back in school on Monday or Tuesday because they recognized that parents had to go to work and the kids had to be educated. And so they went back and most teachers were in school on Monday and Tuesday, depending on the school schedule. So I think there's a recognition on the part of public servants that they are there to serve the public. But there's also a recognition both on the side of the public and the public servants that if you gut the public services, you're not going to be able to do your job.
Frank Emsbach, history professor emeritus at the University of Wisconsin Extension School for Workers, which also produces the radio program WIN Workers Independent News. Frank, thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a good day.